Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When the focus of the Bible readings that are appointed for a Sunday of the church year are focusing on marriage and family, it can be a bit of a challenge to know just how to preach a sermon that will feel relevant to everyone in a congregation and in different stages of life and with different marital statuses. Some who are married with no kids, some who are married with kids, some who are single, some who have been married in the past, some who are children and for whom the thought of marriage is still very far off for them. But there's at least one thing in our reading for today that applies to all of us, no matter what our stage in life, no matter what our marital status might be. And that's what we see in chapter 21, the first verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, the first verse of our reading before us this morning. God, through his apostle Paul, calls us to submit to one another in reverence for Christ. Submit. That's not really a word that we like to think about and like to apply to ourselves in our lives. And it's not just some wives in our modern society who don't like to hear this word applied to themselves in their marriage relationship as we see it spelled out here in Ephesians chapter 5. Really, it's all of us. God, through his apostle Paul, tells us to submit, tells all of us to submit to one another. But who of us really and truly wants to submit to anyone else? Who of us really and truly wants to listen to someone else lecturing us and telling us what to do? Oh, me, I really want to do that. Really? Well, our innate unwillingness to submit has its roots that go back all the way to our first ancestors, Adam and Eve. And actually, it goes back even farther than that to the devil who tempted them. The devil was not willing to submit to God's authority. The devil originally created as one of the holy angels who were sinless, but yet full of pride, he wanted God's glory for himself. And so, refusing to submit to God's will, the devil led a certain number of angels, a large portion of the holy angels, together with him in rebellion against God. And then after doing that, then the devil came to destroy God's harmony with the people that he had created to have a loving relationship with him. And the devil came and tempted Adam and Eve to rise up and to throw off those burdensome commands that God had given to them, and instead to receive that secret knowledge that God didn't want them to have or to experience. And as we know from Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve were all too eager to listen to the devil's lies and to go along with his temptation to rebellion and disobedience. And then as we read the rest of the Bible, and we see that down throughout the millennia that followed that sin of Adam and Eve, we see countless examples of our forefathers and mothers in the faith who were again and again unwilling to submit themselves to God's will at some key times in their lives. Abraham, that great father of faith, the ancestor of God's people, Israel, on multiple occasions he doubted God's promise to protect him, and so on multiple occasions he lied about his relationship with his wife Sarah, and he said that she was his sister instead of his wife, which led to all kinds of trouble for him and his wife. And then later on, Sarah and Abraham together doubted God's promise that he would give them a son of their own who would be their heir. And so they hatched a sinful plan for Abraham to sleep with Sarah's maidservant Hagar. Later on, Moses, that great leader of God's people, He took the law into his own hands, and he killed an Egyptian whom he saw beating one of Moses' fellow Hebrews. And after that, King David, who was a man after God's own heart, but yet in a time of spiritual apathy, he took for himself another man's wife. And then after his attempts to cover up his adultery, which would soon be shown because the woman, the man's wife that he slept with, was pregnant by him, after his attempts to cover up that adultery failed, David finally gave up and issued a command that the woman's husband was to be put in the front line of battle, and the rest of the soldiers were to withdraw and leave him alone so he would be struck down and killed. In effect, David himself, by his command, had killed Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. Later on, the Apostle Peter, the bold and faithful follower of Jesus, in a moment of weakness and in fear for his own life and safety, he called down curses upon himself to support the lie that he was telling, that he didn't even know Jesus at all. The Apostle Paul, the great, powerful preacher of God's word, was originally a persecutor of Christians, a man who literally went out of his way in order to search out and arrest Christians and to throw them in jail, and who looked on in approval as a lynch mob brutally murdered Stephen the deacon by bashing him to death with rocks. Just like all of them, perhaps not as extreme in the gruesome details of our rebellion against God's will or a refusal to submit to his will, but just like all of them, all of us have inherited from our parents that same inbred unwillingness to submit to God's law, which shows itself in so many ways, in all of the ways that we sin against God's commands in our lives. Not only in our actions, but also in our words and in the thoughts and the desires of our hearts. But perhaps even greater than our unwillingness to submit to God directly is our unwillingness to do what God tells us to do here in this verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. To submit to God indirectly by submitting to one another. At least we know that God is perfect, that he is perfectly wise and perfectly loving, and so it's easier for us to convince ourselves to submit to him when we know that we can totally trust him, that we know that his will is perfect. But you are not perfectly wise or perfectly loving, and so it's a lot harder for me to overcome my pride and to submit to you. In fact, if it were up to us, we wouldn't, and in fact, we can't, by our own power, overcome our pride and submit to each other. Instead, if it were up to us, we would ultimately go to hell with our sins of pride and our unwillingness to submit to one another or to God. But God reminds us that it's not up to us. It's not up to our own power and determination to do what God instructs us to do here, to submit to one another. The Apostle Paul writes, "Submit to one another in reverence for Christ." So he doesn't say, "Rely on your own willpower to suppress your pride and to submit to one another." Rather, he says, in effect, "Rely on Christ." Remember what Jesus has done for you. Remember how, in the verses later on in our reading, how Jesus loved you, how he gave himself up for you to make you holy by cleansing you with the washing of water in connection with the Word, so that he could present you to himself as glorious, having no stain or wrinkle or any such thing, but holy and blameless. Jesus, he is the bridegroom who has made you his bride, glorious and perfect in his sight by washing away your sins. He gave up his own life to do that. And now he lives again, and he promises that you too will live with him forever in perfect love and joy and peace and harmony. When you remember that, when you remember what Jesus has done for your salvation, when you remember that Jesus gave up his own life on the cross to pay for all of your sins, and he has opened the door to eternal life in heaven for you, how do you feel? Grateful? Appreciative? Reverential? Full of love and thanks for him? God says, take all of those things that you feel for Jesus as your Savior. Take all of those things that you feel in response to Jesus' love for you, and now channel those feelings that you have towards Jesus. Channel that towards each other. And so when you remember Jesus and his love for you, you won't want to insist on having your own way all the time in contrast to someone else's ideas or their preference. But instead, you'll be happy to make compromises. And even to put aside your preference altogether because you remember that Jesus gave up everything for you. And in the specifics of God's instruction to us in our reading, husbands and wives, or those who are here today who may at some point in the future become husbands or wives, God says that this relationship between Jesus and the church is to be both the model and the power and the motivation for your married relationship with your spouse. And so although by our sinful nature, none of us, wives included, want to submit to anyone else, now motivated by God's love for us through Jesus our Savior, wives want to submit to their husbands because they remember the ultimate self-sacrificing love of Jesus for them. And husbands want to love their wives in that self-sacrificing way, totally and selflessly, because they remember that Jesus has loved them in the same way. Children who also, because of their sinful nature, don't want to obey their parents. But when children remember what Jesus has done for them, that he gave up his own life to save them, in response then, children want to submit to their parents because they know that Jesus is their Savior and that God has given their parents to them as a blessing for them. And fathers and mothers want to be good parents, not provoking their children to anger, but rather taking care and training their children in God's word, because they know that the result of that training will mean eternal life for their children, which is by far the best thing that they can help to give to their children. And all Christians want to submit to one another. We want to do that in reverence for Christ because of what Jesus has done for us. Now, of course, the devil doesn't want us to do that. The devil will try to get us to be prideful, to be non-submissive, to try to insist on our own way and only doing what we want to do. The devil will try to make us think that we know better, that our way is the only way or the best way. The devil will try to make us think that submissiveness to one another shows weakness rather than showing strength and self-confidence. But by God's grace, we can easily shake off these temptations of the devil as we remember the great self-sacrificing love of Jesus for us, for all believers, as his beloved bride. May God grant that self-sacrificing love of Jesus will be the pattern for and the motivation for all of our relationships, for all of our interactions with other people, submitting to one another in reverence for Christ. Amen. Now to him who is able, according to the power that is at work within us, to do infinitely more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.